At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, and welcome back to the Couple's Guide to Stranger Things podcast. I'm Sian.
And I am someone who has nothing funny to say, and therefore I am Tom.
You said your name! And then you did a Harry. Actually, that's more Emmy at the moment. She keeps making that noise. Anyway, yeah. We're just a couple of parents who are also super fans who met through our love of Stranger Things.
If you can't tell, this is completely unscripted because we're done with season two.
I mean, it's always unscripted anyway, but yes.
Yeah, but you normally have notes to give us a little smidge of structure.
Yeah, that is true. We're going off the record.
Indeed, and we're talking about our top three, because my God, the last one of these was a drag.
Yeah.
Top three favourite moments. No, moments? Yeah. Scenes, characters, actors, and then a least favourite scene as well.
And that sounds quite confusing, but it's not.
It's not. I'm just terrible at explaining things.
We have both also been up since about 5 a.m. Well,
over multiple days.
I saw pretty much every hour of last night. So this is going to make for an interesting podcast.
It's usually me that's tired by the time we start recording these.
I have lost the plot. I've done a lot of singing already, haven't I?
She's gone insane. Like, you know us, we're insane anyway. So if I'm saying that, help me.
You better believe it, people.
Please send help.
Shall we dive in to this madness?
Like the party did.
That sounded so boring.
I know.
Like
I'm
the party
boring.
Did.
I'm boring.
I was going to say, what did the party jump into? But I suppose all you can say is the tunnels. But I feel like we've used the tunnels many times.
I know, but everyone dives into them eventually. So they're just the one and only thing I can use at the moment.
Let's go for it.
Let's just shut up and go.
So, do you think we should start with the least favourite scene to get the depressing negative out the way?
Like everyone says, give me the bad news first.
Yes, that's very good. Do you want to do your least favourite scene first?
Okay.
I'm curious if we're going to, how many things we're going to have the same.
Well, that's it, because if we have the same, we can both just talk about it at the same time anyway. And then
yeah, that's true.
Saves us just saying, yeah, mine's the same later on.
Okay, well, I'll save if it is, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
And if it isn't.
So, mine is more of like a group of scenes rather than one, and it's all the stuff involving Terry.
Okay. Mine is different.
Okay. Solely because it's just, like you were saying, many episodes, now that we are parents, it was hard enough before, but now that we are parents, it's just 10 times more hard. You can imagine yourself in that scene. You're literally exactly like Terry does, doing everything you can to get your daughter back.
Yes.
Just to then be vegetated. And then, yeah, having to watch Elle learn all that, seeing what happened to her mother and just feeling all that pain and anger, it's horrible.
That's it. That moment where Elle is in the void on her knees going, Mama.
Yeah,
it's
when
like,
she just vanished. Yeah, that's probably the one that I pictured when this scene came to my mind.
Yeah, it's just horrendous.
It really is. But that's pretty much all I've got to say about that.
Yeah. I mean, that is definitely up there for me as well. Like, what happened to Terry is just awful. And you can't imagine, like, for Elle, not only seeing what's happened to her mother, but having an insight that no one else has got, actually seeing what happened
exactly,
to her.
Exactly, that's it. Because it's not like she's just been told what happened to her mother. You know, she has literally watched it play out.
Yeah.
As if it was recorded on camera. She's literally had to watch it all happen.
Yeah.
You know, from her mother's perspective.
It's such a rough, rough season for Elle. And ironically, my least favourite moment includes Elle as well.
Yeah.
But it's the Hopper and Elle fight.
I did think you'd go for that, yeah.
And it's because I just feel for her so, so much in this scene. And I feel so frustrated at Hopper because, yes, he doesn't know what she has just been through. But, you know, she has been like, right, screw the rules. I need to see Mike and he needs to see me. And she's gone through this journey where, yes, she's been discovered, where she must have had like her heart in her throat with nerves. And then she's found him. And oh my God, what must have gone through her to finally see Mike? And then she's seen Max and she's assumed the wrong things and left. I can't imagine to a young girl, like, you know, having been a young girl myself and having been in love myself and things like that, that kind of vulnerability and that absolute heartbreak that she must have been feeling in that moment. That's the kind of moment where young girls need, ironically, like their mum.
Yeah.
Or they need a sister, or they need some, or their best friend.
They need support.
They need support. That's one of those moments growing up. And I'd like to think for boys as well, but it's one of those moments growing up where you want to reach out to someone you love and you want to cry with them. And, you know, God, I remember, like, it's not the same, obviously, but I remember, like, a breakup when I was a teenager and my sister was just, like, my rock. And we asked my mum to buy us, like, these expensive chocolates because, for anyone who's seen Legally Blonde, they'll know what I'm talking about. We wanted to recreate this scene in Legally Blonde where she, like, is going through a heartbreak and she eats half of each chocolate. And we watched, like, my favourite movie together and we had a cry and we lay in bed together. And in this moment, that is, like, what Elle needs.
Yeah.
She needs a best friend or just a really trusted person that she can cry to and be like, I'm just so lonely, I'm this and that, and, you know, and someone to hype her up. And instead, she's faced with pure anger that just makes her feel horrific and guilty and sad, and it makes her feel messed up because he's like, what's wrong with you? What the hell is wrong with you? And she just loses it.
Yeah, and I cannot blame her for a second. What she needed was Max.
Like, ironically, yeah. Even though she's pretty much upset because of what she thinks is going on with Max.
Yeah.
Ironically, this is one of those moments where, yeah, she needs Max.
Yeah.
But, oh, it just hurts my heart every time I see it.
Absolutely,
yeah. I just want to give her a hug.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I knew for a fact you'd go for this. And I very nearly did as well, to be honest.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, because we've got
two perspectives. That's it. I knew you were going to go for this, so that I deliberately changed my mind and went for something else then.
Yeah.
Because I knew you were going to go for this. Yeah, it's just horrible. And like you say, she just needed that support. Not the complete opposite, to just amplify it. And that's it. Not for one second do I blame her for the way she reacted. And like I say, I don't think the window smashing was deliberate. I think that's just a side effect of her having abilities and just being that distressed.
Yeah.
That she, you know, she just loses it. And then
Do you know what's just come into my mind as well? When I was getting this normal story now, people, when I was getting Harry ready for bed this evening, he was overtired. We'd let him stay up a bit to play with his friend, one of our neighbours, and I was getting him into his pyjamas and we were singing different nursery rhymes and he was singing Wheels on the Bus. And obviously he's two, so he's coherent a lot of the time now, but there are moments where you cannot understand what he was saying. And it got to a certain point where he was asking for, say, for instance, the wipers on the bus go swish, 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 and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He was asking for one that I genuinely couldn't understand what it was. And I, like, went through the list of this song, of all the different ones.
I could hear him screaming.
Yeah, and I was like, is it this one? Is it that one? And he was like, no, no, no. And he kept saying this word to me, and I genuinely didn't understand what on earth it was. And he just lost it and had a proper tantrum, crying, ended up hugging me, crying, and then, bless him, almost falling asleep, because he was so frustrated, because he wanted to communicate something, and he just couldn't get me to understand. And that genuinely is just throwing me back to the moment of Elle against the door, like, flinging her arms, and then that's when everything smashes.
Yeah.
Because she's so frustrated that she probably wants a person to communicate to and explain how she's feeling, and she is so isolated.
Yeah. It's amazing just, it hasn't happened before. Because, you know, she's literally locked up in a prison again.
Yeah.
So.
And I know I go so deep into it, but I'm just very passionate about it.
That's what this podcast is about. That's what this podcast is about. Us being ridiculously into every little, like, frame by frame, analysis, and the deepest character analysis, because they're a part of us, is the only way I can describe it.
But that's the whole point of a rewatch, isn't it? Like you say, to analyse all these scenes and stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Like we never have before.
Yeah, and that's it. We have such a deep, ridiculous connection to these characters that, yeah, that's it. We can't help but go into every little detail.
Oh, yeah. I suppose that's because we're both writers, and that's what you do as writers. You describe every single detail of a scene. You literally
become the character.
You become the character, but you describe the scene to, you know, paint that picture in people's heads.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, at least that is the hard bit done. That's the least favourite scenes of the season for us.
Exactly.
Should we go on to favourite scene, or would you want to leave that?
Yeah, go favourite scene now.
Yeah.
Because then it's just, yeah, it makes more sense to do that next rather than the actors or characters.
I'm thinking that we're either going to have the exact same favourite scene.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone listening is going to be screaming out what our favourite scene is, because they'll all know it from how much we spoke about it. But
Well, in that case.
Oh! I'm not sure. I think it's going to be one of two.
Yeah, there's two.
And I'm hoping you've gone for the other one so that we can both talk about it.
I have a feeling we might have. They're both in episode 9, I'm sure.
Yes.
But I'm going to guess that yours is at the start.
Mine is at the start. Mine is the reunion.
Yeah.
So does that mean yours is the snowball?
Yeah. And yeah, just for context, I've written on my notes, literally, favourite scene, snowball, in brackets, cue eye roll. Because literally everyone's either screaming at that or are like, come on, be creative.
I know.
But I just can't help it. Just the facts.
And this is the thing. I've literally just put reunion because I don't need to write any more notes on it.
Yeah.
But I've got to be, I was going to say almost careful, as if people are going to be mad. But obviously we had literally an entire episode of our podcast on that reunion.
Literally.
And then, you know, we literally have spoke about the snowball in the previous episode. So you all know what happened. It happened very, very recently.
Exactly. But yeah. So we don't really need to go in depth.
We don't need to go into depth. I do want to just say, of course, for me, it is my favourite scene because it is the moment all Malevin fans and true Stranger Things, I feel cheeky saying true Stranger Things fans, but you know what I mean, the ones that go with the canon story. It's what we've all been waiting for. We have seen Elle, literally, as we've just both mentioned, we've seen her suffer the whole way through. We have seen Mike suffer the whole way through, especially because of their separation.
Yeah.
And finally, that jigsaw piece clicks back into place for them both. They're both, for a moment, like we said last time and the time before in the podcast, it's just them in the room. Finally, all is well in the world for 5 minutes, you know, because it's them two. And yeah. Everything, the stars have aligned again. And it's so powerful. Millie and Finn are phenomenal actors, especially in this scene. They make it so believable. They have fantastic chemistry as actors. They bring so much with their expressions. I absolutely love it. And I've probably watched it over 100 times easily.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, you mentioned why the snowball won it for me in the end, because I was going to pick that, but the reason I went with the snowball instead is because, like you say, they have literally been tortured by their separation for the entire year.
Yeah.
And then they get back together just for 5 minutes before she has to go and basically risk her life.
Yeah.
So it's bittersweet, nearly, in that they are together again. They are the only person in the room. And then knock, knock, here comes the lab.
Yeah.
And all the demodogs and the gate and all of that. So for that reason, the snowball won for me, because that, if you ignore, like I say, if you just cut it out before it pans to the upside down, if you ignore season 3 and on, then that is their happily ever after. It could have ended there as their happily ever after. And obviously, we'd all be royally annoyed if this show was only 2 seasons. Like, that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
But it could be their happily ever after, and it'd be a beautiful one.
It would be. And, like, obviously, my fan fiction, The Life You Deserve, it starts from the snowball.
Exactly.
And so many amazing ones I've seen start from the snowball or just after the snowball.
No, yours starts from the gate.
Well, yes, technically. but you know what I mean? Like, they start at the end of season 2. So I know what, yeah, you're saying, like, that scene, and I get what you're saying, and it makes so much sense. That scene is the start of what could be.
That's
yeah,
it. It's the start
ending.
Of their future, and it's that moment that then made me realise I needed more. And it's that that got me into fanfiction, because it was that right there. Again, if it wasn't for the pan to the upside down, which we all happily decided to forget, for the most part, I think a few writers out there did continue on with that. Especially with that piece of the mind flare that was inside Will.
Mm.
You know, that was always a factor. That we all, anyone with half a brain, knew they were going to use that in season 3, and they did. But, yeah, that's it. That was their happily ever after right there.
Yeah.
And so I then needed more. I needed a continuation from there, and I found many, many writers, but I found you.
So, you found me.
Who would have thunk it?
And I'm trying to think when I wrote 2017.
Did you start writing it straight after you watched it?
Yeah.
They would have been 2017-ish then, because
yeah,
I watched it in the December,
March,
I think.
March 2017 it'll have been then.
Well, no, because
no, 2018.
Yeah, March 2018. Yeah. Right, yeah, because I watched it slightly before you, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
I watched it in December-ish.
Yeah, it came out in October, Halloween 2017. And then, yeah, you watched it in the December. I watched it in... No.
March, you just said.
I know I said March, but no. I started my fan fiction on the 5th of March. So, yeah, even...
I like how you have that date down to a T.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know it well. Either I'm started the end of Feb or early March, but yeah, pretty much straight after that I started reading a couple, and then I was like,
that's it, yeah.
I want to write my own.
Yeah, that's it. I read a good few and then decided I want to get into the action. And I remember AO3 had a
I wasn't even on AO3. Yeah, I was
I know,
on
yeah.
fanfic.net,
but AO3 was the first site I found and the one that I just preferred.
Yeah.
And yeah, it had like a bit of a waiting process to get your account activated.
Yeah.
So I was just reading while I was waiting for that, and as soon as my account became alive, that's when I dived into action, and my God, I was writing so much rubbish.
No, honestly, Not at all. I've read so many. I'd like to think I've read all of them now, but I've read so many of your stories. No, and they're lovely. And this is it. You're really good at doing one shots. Yeah. I'm good at doing multi chapters, but at the, it's, sorry people, I'm going off on a tangent here. But just for anyone listening that does read my stories, because I know that there are some, and I'm not, like, ignoring them. My God, I can barely get...
You're desperate to get back into it.
Oh, so these, desperate, people.
These two miniature demons pretty much...
Rule me.
Rule the house and prevent it.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. I'm working all day.
I can barely get the chores done.
Yeah. God.
It's crazy. But,
that's it. You're left alone with both of them.
Yeah.
All day, so there's literally zero room.
Yeah.
To do that.
That's it. I will get back to it. At some point, I will, because I miss it desperately. I love it. But no, I love that you chose the snowball, because you're right. You're right. It ironically becomes the gate to fan fictions and to all sorts of edits and fan accounts and so much, so
literally,
much.
It opens the world to their happily ever after.
It was a big moment.
If
it's
you
beautiful.
Ignore that important camera spin upside down.
Yeah, yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about.
What? I think it was just a glitch on the screen or something.
Must have been. So then we've got either top three favourite characters or top three actors. Do you have any
said actors twice, I think.
No, I said characters then actors.
I'll listen back to it later if I remember, but I'm sure... Well, you will.
Listen back to it now, so that you can tell everyone that I was right.
Fine. Yeah, no, he's just a dumbass.
So, yeah, I was right.
Shush.
Although, I'm not always right. This has nothing to do with this, but I have forgotten to mention this on about 3 podcasts now, and it is making me laugh. I listened back to our podcast, and... weeks ago, I said that there was a character in Hocus Pocus called Jack. And I went into detail and I was like, he's like a zombie. He helps them. I listened back to the podcast. I was doing the dishes. And then I was like, oh, it's not Jack. His name was Billy. So to all of the Hocus Pocus fans out there, I sincerely apologise for renaming Billy to Jack. Oops. But anyway, back to this.
And ironic that it's Billy as well.
I know. I was literally like, are you taking the mic? His name is Billy. Anyway, top three characters or top three actors?
Should we go with actors first?
Yeah, because I was thinking maybe what do we want to finish the podcast on?
Yeah, and I think finishing on characters...
it's more into it, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Right. I would not be surprised if we have the same top. Are we going to go from the third to first?
Yeah, I think we might have the same top three for actors, but I'm not sure about characters.
Yeah, I'm not sure about characters, because I've gone a bit out there.
I've gone a bit out there too.
But I think for 3 favourite actors, I mean, on the little notes part of my list, I've got the actor... and then literally the notes for each one is just duh. Like, it's, in my opinion, very obvious what my list is.
I think we are going to have the same top one at least.
Yeah.
In that, the same, like, order, but...
I wouldn't be surprised if you had them in the same order, but the last two could alternate. I wouldn't be surprised if we've got the same 3 people, though.
I bet we do.
Right.
How should we do this?
Do you want me to say? Or do you want to just say it at the same time and see what happens?
Okay, so yeah. So let's go for our third place and then we'll go
third
like...
third place.
And then should we go like 1, 2, 3 or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
Dacre.
Oh, okay. He's not on my list. He was very close to being, though.
Yeah, okay.
And I thought about it and I was like, actually... he's amazing in this season. Like, like I say, he was nearly on the list. Very nearly. But he's going to be on my season 3 list.
Of course. Second place?
Are we going straight in? We're not...
I think we should see what our 3 are, because then if our first one's the same, we can discuss them together and we can, you know.
Okay.
So, second place, 1, 2, 3, Finn. Millie. And then number one, I think it goes without saying.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, Noah.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so we'll be discussing Noah together. We can probably discuss Millie together.
Yeah.
Should I mention Dacre first? Because he's number three in my list, and then we can discuss Millie
together
then.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I thought he had an amazing introduction to the show.
He does, 100%.
I just think he sticks out. He is an actor that sticks out. Like, if you were going to watch a show, he's one of that actors that you would remember.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just puts every, like Millie kind of character, he just puts so much into every kind of scene. You can tell he works hard. You can tell he really captures a character. And almost you can tell that he's not playing himself. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I think some actors can be a little bit lazy and can just be playing themselves, just saying lines. But he gives so much more than just saying lines, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he truly becomes the character. And I suppose all of them kind of do that.
Yeah.
To an extent, don't they? But
yeah.
I
just feel like every line that he says is delivered perfectly. Like with malice, with threat and anger. Like, you know, there's anger in his gestures. Like, you know, the way he threatens Max. And
well, that's it. Grabbing Max's wrist is improv. You know, that wasn't written in.
Like you said, he just so lives and breathes into the character.
Becomes Billy for that scene, yeah.
I think they call him an auteur actor. It's something like that, an auteur actor. Where
I've never heard of that, but I've heard method actor. Where
auteur is... my media teacher always used to say it, and one of the examples used to be like Johnny Depp, where they just live and breathe their character. They become their character.
See, I've heard people describe method actors like that, so maybe it's just the same thing in a different language, I don't know.
Maybe.
But, yeah, where they literally, whether the cameras are rolling or not, whenever they're on set, they literally are that character.
Yeah.
For the entire time. And, yeah, I've heard good things about that, I've heard bad things about that. Depends on who they're acting.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I say, Billy was so close to being number three on my list.
Oh, yeah. He plays Billy perfectly.
Yeah.
They picked the perfect actor for him. And that's not to say Dacre is evil or anything like that.
No.
They picked the perfect actor, someone that can be such a wonderful person and then just be able to turn into this vicious, menacing role. I just thought he was phenomenal and really stood out to me. From his first scene where literally he's just standing looking around.
Exactly, yeah.
And I'm not saying that because of his looks, people. he's got like a star quality, like Millie does.
Yeah, exactly.
And then on to Millie.
I was just going to say those exact words. I will say the fact that she's number three on my list does not mean she's the worst of the bunch.
Mm,
like, obviously, I had Finn for number two.
Mm.
They are pretty much tied. They are interchangeable. For how they act.
That's
in this
it. Funny enough, you saying that, Dacre, Finn just missed my list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. It was the other way around for me. And yeah, ironically, it's going to be a lot the same for these two, I think. And yeah, it's just all the emotion they managed to show in this season.
Yes.
Like, we've said it before, where on earth are child actors getting this emotion that they can just pour into these scenes?
Yeah.
Like, how do they do that at this age? It's insane.
Do you want me to tell you what notes I put for Millie?
Go on, because I haven't got any.
I put phenomenal. She is one of the best actresses of her time. She shines every season and will probably always be in my top three actors for every season going.
Yeah.
Because she always delivers.
Yeah.
If it's true that she is ready for the show to be over, she never allows that to impact on her acting. She gives us such a range of Elle's emotions, especially in this season. And I put as well, like, it was a hard season for Millie. Like,
yeah.
I remember her saying that. It might have been in Beyond Stranger Things. I remember her saying that it was a hard season for her because she was pretty much away from the group for most of it. She was very isolated or was working with brand new actors, and it was taking her away from everything that really she had built up in season one.
Yeah, exactly, because just like the actual show, really, she's never with the other actors other than David Harbour until the very end.
Yeah.
And obviously I know she was around, like, in some of the behind the scenes, you know, there's clips of her walking past Mike and the gang in their tunnel attire.
Yeah.
And all of that. So, you know, she's around them every now and then, but for the majority of it, she's completely separate.
That's it. And, you know, these scenes that we see that may take a couple of minutes, when they're filmed, they could take hours. Yeah. You know, and that's a long time to be isolated. And for a teenager as well, like, she just did so well. And when you think about Elle's moments in this season, there's hardly any moments where she's smiling or happy. They're all very serious. They're all very heavy. And because Millie is another one of those actors, like you say, a method actor, like Dacre, she lives and breathes it. And that must have just been a very heavy emotion for her.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so she deserves all the credit. She's so good.
Absolutely. I genuinely think the first time she smiles in this season is when she walks into the buyer's house and Mike's there.
I mean, we see her do a little smile with Hopper, with like the egos, and when she's seen him doing his dad dancing.
Okay, but those no are flashbacks moment in the past.
Yeah, but you don't know when they're filmed. But
yeah.
No moment does she beam as much as she does with Mike.
That's it. She, then again, the Echo Extravaganza is a Halloween thing, so no, that's.
But again, it's only a small smile. Either way,
yeah, it's a small, fine, you're making me laugh smile.
Yeah.
Not a I'm actually happy smile, because she's still isolated.
Yeah.
She's genuinely not properly happy until she's with Mike.
No.
So it's such a hard season.
100%. It is such a hard season. So I think for that to be on the shoulders of a young actress, she did so well.
Yeah.
So well.
Exactly.
But like I said, she's always going to be in my top three because she is a phenomenal actress.
She is.
And she does always put everything into playing Elle.
Yeah, absolutely. And segueing on to that, we might as well get Finn out of the way because he's my number two then.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much the exact same. Really, just the amount of emotion that has to go into acting Mike this season is pure insanity.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's having to act a kid that's pretty much, well, literally met the love of his life for a week and then watched her vanish into a cloud of dust.
Yeah.
And he's having to act this kid who truly believes she's still out there, but is starting to develop these doubts. He's literally arguing in his head this entire year, wanting to truly believe she's still out there, but then all logic is saying, no, she's not.
Yeah.
But then, you know, like he says, sometimes it's like he sees her in the corner of his eye and all of that, and we know it's because she's watching him and he's truly sensing her. But, yeah, it's just, again, where are you pulling this from? What have you gone through to be able to act this kind of thing?
That's it. And we know from, like, behind the scenes, from, like, the actors used to give a lot of content. And I always remember Finn's content was always so comical. You know, with his brother, with his friends, playing video games. So comical, so chilled. And yet he brings so much to Mike. He brings all the emotion that we would want in Mike. He brings it beautifully. And he's so expressive with his eyes just as much as Millie is.
Exactly.
And that just makes for a fantastic chemistry.
Yeah, and that's why they are pretty much tied in my list. Like, that, you know, two and three might as well just be both number two.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're completely interchangeable this season.
Absolutely.
It's just insane because that's it. It's like, you know, he truly seems like a teenager that's lost himself because of Elle being missing. You know, he's graffitiing the bathroom stalls and all of that. He's arguing with teachers and his parents where he clearly is a kid that would never have done that before. And now suddenly, yeah, he's just completely gone, drawn within himself, doesn't want to talk to anyone.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to exist in the real world, he just wants to find Elle. And that's it. It's just being able to act that just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Where they're pulling that from.
You did such a great job.
Yeah. Honestly, this is easily their best seasons for acting.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely, like, completely insane.
And speaking of insane,
yeah,
we'll go on to Noah because he did an insane job.
Yeah, absolutely. He, that's it. Number one is very deserved.
Yeah, 100%.
My God.
And I remember he got an award for this season, and I remember thinking,
good,
very well deserved.
Good, good, good. Yeah, he absolutely needed that.
The notes I had put for this was really hard scenes that would have pushed him physically and mentally. He portrayed what was happening to Will in such a believable way. He took a huge role from barely being in season one, and he clearly wanted to prove himself as an actor in season two, and he succeeded.
Yeah, exactly that. That's true, because season one, he was pretty much just on the sidelines constantly. He was
missing in the Upside Down.
Literally, basically a throwaway actor, really. They could have got...
Yeah, yeah.
They pretty much could have got any extra to play Will in season one.
Yeah.
Because he's never there. He is, like... He's in the Upside... You know, the Dungeons & Dragons scene at the start. He's on his bike. And then he's gone. We see a few glimpses of him through a gate, or some moments in the Upside Down.
Yeah.
And then right at the end in the hospital. That's all we get of Noah. It's ridiculous how small his part was in season one when it's technically all about him.
Exactly. And I just think that Noah probably then felt a pressure to really deliver with the storyline that he knew he was going to be given. And he did. He did such a fantastic job. Like, he is the youngest one out of teenagers. If we're going to talk about, you know, where do they pull this from? You know, I just think in season two with Noah, it was like, they're like, right, we want, you're about to be possessed. Okay, got it. Tick, done. Job done. You're going to scream going, he's lying, he's like, you're going to have this moment of like a fit of rage. Okay, bam, done.
Yeah.
He's got it. You're going to, you're literally going to be writhing in pain from heat. You're going to strangle Winona Ryder. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
He just
before that, you're crying your eyes out because you want this torture to end.
Yeah. He literally took every bit of his script and just ran with it. He did such a good job. He did.
And like we say, his range this season, like, he's not just fixated on being angry or sad.
No.
He's all over the place. Like, one minute he's trying to be happy, he's trying to ignore what's going on, you know, while they're being Ghostbusters and trick-or-treating and all of that. He is pretty much happy and trying to avoid it. Nearly being a counsellor for Mike. And then, obviously, once he can't hide it anymore, he is genuinely getting upset and crying to his mother because he wants it all to be over.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and then, like we say, once he's been knocked out and when he wakes up as the Mind Flayer rather than Will, you know, once Will's shoved to the back of the mind and he is acting as the Mind Flayer, then it's just pure anger and hatred.
Yeah.
Shining through. And at the start of that, though, he's having to act as the Mind Flayer pretending to be Will.
Yeah.
Like, normally he obviously just acts Will, but here he's having to act as something else pretending to be Will, because that's what the Mind Flayer does to begin.
Yeah.
And it's just insane because you can clearly tell that isn't Will. It's, you know, he's saying things that Will probably would, but he's slow to respond, slow to identify who people are, doesn't know who Bob is.
No, I know. He just is such a fantastic actor, and it's like he's drawing on a wealth of experience when he's only very young.
Yeah.
And for me, it's the scene when in the cabin when they are trying to literally burn the mind flayer out of him. I just think how physical that scene must have been for him, how mentally and physically exhausting, you know, to be writhing in pain, to be bound, to be pretending to be possessed and having this thing come out of you. It's like he almost must have had to leave like all inhibitions at the door, because, you know, at the end of the day, let's be honest, there's a lot of jealous, nasty people out there. And I can imagine he was probably potentially bullied for that scene. You know, people taking the mick out of him and all that. Even though he's acting, people would be like, oh my God, you know, you were so pathetic or something like that.
Oh, and yeah, like we say, when he was crying about wanting it all to be over, they're probably saying, oh my God, you're such a baby.
Yeah, even though he's literally acting. Because people, there's so trolls who are jealous out there, you know, and would have loved to have been in that position that he's in as an actor. I feel like Noah was just like, almost like, I don't care. I'm just going to go for this properly. And I don't care what people think of me as an actor or anything like that. And I just think he did a fantastic job in season two. He is the standout actor above all else in season two.
He is the standout actor, and this is his best season.
Yeah.
Like, you know, don't want to go into him too early, but as if that's ever stopped me.
Hmm.
But they completely throw him away in season three. Like, what on earth?
Yeah, it is sad because, again, we'll go through it all literally in our next episode. We'll start.
Starting with, Jesus.
But it does feel like they built all this stuff up and then it was just like you say, like a throwaway. But, you know, we'll see.
Can we play D&D now?
Yeah. We'll see it with new eyes. We'll examine every scene. We'll examine why he's asking that.
I get why, from a character point of view. I do understand it, but
he just wants to be normal and go back
exactly. He's missed.
He missed so much.
He's missed nearly 2 years. Yeah.
Their youth.
Exactly. So, you know, he just wants everything to go back to how it was. I'm sure he says that himself.
He does later on.
But either way, as an actor, he's just thrown away.
Like, yeah, he is as an actor. When you think about everything he's been through, and then, oh, okay, I'm just going to dress up as a wizard this season. Okay.
Yep, exactly. He just dreams of a time full of girls. In the blooper.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what? That doesn't make any sense. But yes, I remember the bloopers now.
Yes.
They're on YouTube, aren't they?
They are on YouTube.
If people haven't seen them by any chance. So, should we go into our top three favourite characters?
Shall we indeed? Do you want to go first or shall I?
I think these are going to be quite different.
I think they are.
So, I don't think there's any... Is there any point... Should we do the same thing where we say...
I wasn't thinking that, no. Because like I say, we did think our actors were going to be the same.
Yeah.
And they were close. But I don't think they will for the characters.
No, I don't think so either.
So... Do you want to go first or shall I?
You can go first.
Okay. My number three, ironically, is Will.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He's not in my top three.
He's not in your top three. There we go.
No, not for characters.
For Will, what I've written down is it's not Will specifically.
Okay.
It's his whole situation this season. Like we were saying, he's gone from being Will.
Yeah.
Wanting to... You know, just ignore everything that's happened, trying to be normal after the most abnormal thing has happened to you. And then, in reality, he's possessed. And after watching season four, knowing this is all Henry Creel.
Yeah.
When you go back to watch this season now, it's basically an early glimpse into Henry. Because that is who is talking through Will.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was saying a mind flayer earlier, but Henry's controlling the mind flayer. So that's it. It's pretty much Henry inside Will's body.
Yeah.
Talking through him and manipulating the world using Will. So it's such an interesting position to be in. Because as I say, it's that early glimpse. We didn't know it back then. But when you watch it, you kind of see mannerisms of Henry nearly, I think, coming through. And so, yeah, that just put him on number three for me because it's such an interesting character to play.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's why he's number three for me.
And that's it. And as a character, this season is very much based around him. And
this is his season.
He brings so much to it.
That's yeah, just... I know. And it's ironic because when you think about it, season one's based on him being missing. He's the point of season one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's literally the focus of season two as well. Season two very much is his season.
Yeah. And that's it. Like, for our top three favourite characters, like, we have approached it, haven't we, of the characters that we've genuinely, like, enjoyed seeing in scenes, or they've done something, like, where they've really got us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they've captured us for whatever reason. So my third one, my number three is Bob.
He's my number two.
So I had put and then you may as well say yours, and then I'll go to my number two.
Yeah, yeah.
He was so kind and caring.
Yeah.
He might not have thought he was brave, but he was.
He was.
He was brave enough to stick around when he knew what was happening, when Joyce had filled him in.
That is literally my note.
Yeah, in fact, that he only wanted to help more.
Yeah.
He was brave to go into the basement of the lab to reset the breakers. He was brave to take on Joyce Byers.
Yeah.
And he had some great comedic moments, like, he walks into the house holding the puzzles and he sees all the drawings and he just goes, huh. And he's got like a really like calm face. Huh.
Yeah.
And he's like, Joyce, can I speak with you for a moment?
Literally, like you were just saying though, my note on Bob is literally word for word. Even once he learns of all the upside down shenanigans, he doesn't falter.
No.
Like, he wants to be there for Joyce and her kids, and he truly was until the end.
I was just going to say, yeah, he sticks to his word to the end.
He sticks to his word, and he literally was protecting them all right until the end.
Yeah.
And then, even in death, he's protecting them because he's then the bait.
Yeah.
To let them get away.
And that's it. I want to thank his character for being there for Joyce. For showing Joyce that, right, this is going to sound a bit funny, but season three Hopper, obviously we'll go into him in depth, but just as an overall before we go in, I'm not happy with season three Hopper.
Season three Hopper sucks.
But I'm so thankful that Joyce had Bob, because I feel that that's what stops her from engaging with Hopper in season three, because she has seen the standard of man that she deserves.
Yeah.
And season three Hopper is not the standard of man that Joyce deserves.
He's far from it, you know.
Season
he's just...
four, poor Hopper has had a huge change because of what he's experienced.
Yeah, I think, but in season four he's had a slap of reality. It's
yes,
hit him in the
in
face.
In many ways. But season three Hopper is not, like, no. He doesn't deserve Joyce.
No, he's just a drunken moron.
Yeah, and I'm so grateful that Bob showed Joyce what she did deserve.
Yeah, exactly, that's it. She, you know, Bob was perfect.
Yeah, he was, and...
in every way.
I miss you, Bob. I miss
you. We miss you. God damn it, Duffer, suffer bros.
And I'm sorry, it's probably controversial, but... Bob was better for her. He was.
He was. He absolutely was. Like, that's it. You know, I'll ship drop her any day, and especially past season four.
Yeah.
But...
that's it. I want Joyce and Hopper to end up together now, of course. But if...
yeah, now. If now Bob, that Bob's dead.
If Bob had never died, I'm sorry, but...
yeah.
I think he was perfect for her.
He was. He was. And that's it. Even before he found out of all the upside down shenanigans, and then especially afterwards, and he says he can't believe they've been through all of this, like, you know, just such a normal looking family, and then they've been through all of that, and
yeah,
he doesn't care. He doesn't run off thinking, Jesus Christ, what have I got myself into.
That's it. He's calming and he's gentle, and she's experienced Lonnie and men like Lonnie by the sounds of things, and she doesn't need that. You know, she needs a Bob.
Yeah, exactly. So,
fortunately, again, we'll go through it, but fortunately, season four, Hopper majorly simmers down, if you know what I mean. From
Once he's finally rescued,
he's like at boiling point in season three, and in season four, he has simmered down. Like you said, he gets a brand new perspective. So I'm not dissing Hopper because he will get there, but Bob was fantastic. He was top tier. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So my number two, so obviously your number two is Bob.
My number two was Bob, yeah.
My number two is Mike Wheeler.
He's my number one.
You're going to be so surprised by who my number one is. I'm sure everyone is. Everyone's going to be really surprised.
Okay.
What I will say is it's not Elle. Because poor Elle had a rough season, and I didn't enjoy watching those scenes.
Yeah,
because exactly. I was just so sad.
That's it. She's always going to be our favourite character across the show, I think. But yeah, I think...
Definitely one of my favourite actors across
the show. Oh, 100%, yeah.
But Bellessa, she barely had any happy... Well, she didn't, except for, like, the snowball.
Literally, her first happy... Her first happy episode is episode 9.
Exactly. So I can't say she's one of my favourite characters in this season because it just made me so sad watching this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for Mike, funnily enough, my notes are almost like a letter to Mike.
Okay.
I've put, thank you for not giving up on Elle.
Yeah.
Thank you for trying to reach out to her every single day.
Yeah.
Thank you for always never giving up on your friends and for always wanting to help.
He needs to hear that.
Ironically,
he does need to hear that, especially in season four when he's doubting himself.
I know.
He just needs to hear that. My note really on Mike is I just don't understand why he gets so much hate.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like you were kind of implying there, he just needs his girl back.
Yeah.
That's it. He just needed Elle back in his life. And as soon as she is back, he instantly changes.
Yeah.
Back to the Mike we knew and loved from season one.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, that's it. He's this doom and gloom, depressed teenager for a reason.
Yeah.
In season two. He has every reason to be the way he is in season two. And then as soon as Elle's back, he's back to normal.
Yeah.
That's all he needed.
And the thing is, some people might question, you know, oh, but you've just said that Elle's not one of your top three because all her scenes were sad. You know, most of Mike's scenes were sad. That is true. But for me, there were certain scenes, for instance, the way he speaks to Will, I think is so lovely.
Yes.
Like when him and Will are having a heart to heart and he says about Elle and says that, like you were saying before, like, you know, he thinks she's there, but she's not. Like, he truly opens up. I think that's such a heartwarming thing about Finn. A heartwarming thing about Mike's character, that he is so closed off, but to some of his closest friends, if they give him the chance, he will open up about what is bothering him.
Yeah.
So that's it. I love this season.
Absolutely, because a teenage boy never opens up.
No.
It's so unheard of for a teenage boy to go asking for help or letting their emotions out. Because that's it. The world is such a hateful place and you will be thought of as just... I can't think of a word that isn't a slur.
Yeah.
Like, and I hate that because that's the way people are.
Yeah.
And it's horrible because nobody should ever have to hide themselves.
No.
At all. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl, man or a woman, you should be able to get your needs and your wants and your emotions out there. You should never have to hide any of it.
Yeah.
And the fact that Mike feels comfortable enough to share his emotions and his thoughts with Will, you say, it's such an important thing. And yeah, I love him for it.
Yeah, me too. And I just, like I said, I'm just thanking him because he's there for Will. He's there for Will, and he wants to be there for Elle wherever she is.
Yeah.
He desperately wants to be there for her. And the moment she's back in his life, I love him for telling her in front of everybody, and this is why we all know I have an issue with season four, like, the moment she's back to him, he has no problem with telling her exactly how he feels, with how much he's missed her, how he's called out for her, how he never gave up on her. And that means so much to me. And of course, the scene with Hopper is so powerful.
Yeah.
Mike's character is phenomenal in this season. He goes through, as probably except for Will, and on par with Elle, he goes on the most craziest roller coaster this season.
Yeah, he does. Because, like we say, he's just tortured by the fact that Elle's not around. And then he's having to deal with his parents being like, you're just a rebelling teenager. You're going to throw away all your prized possessions now.
Yeah.
As a punishment. It's just horrible having to watch him put up with all of that.
Yeah.
While we know why he is being the way he is.
Exactly.
And he just needs that one person back in his life and all's good again.
Yeah. And I think about the snowball and... You've got, like, he's maturer than his years in this season, because you've got Lucas acting like most boys his age would act, where he's too nervous to ask Max to dance and he's trying to be cool and all this stuff. And then you've got Mike, who's wearing his heart on his sleeve, and he's like, he's nervous, you can tell he's nervous, but he's like, do you want to dance? And how relaxed he is, and how he dances with Elle, and he calls her beautiful, and he kisses her, and he's maturer than his years, and that's something I also love about his character.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And
in season two.
Yeah, in season two. But yeah, it's like we were saying, you know, he's trying to be there for Elle if she is out there, and that's it, he doesn't even know that she's out there.
Yeah.
But he's also, despite everything, him, Mike and Will in this season have such a strong bond.
Yes, they do.
Like, I think that it tries to hint they've always had that bond.
Yeah.
But in season two, they really use that bond together, because he's there for Will, despite the fact that Elle's missing and all of that.
Yeah.
You know, he's there for Will going through all of his struggles. But Will is also there for him.
Yeah.
Through Mike's struggles without Elle. Like I say, they are practically each other's counsellor this season. Like, any time that Mike needs to just get something out about Elle, it's Will that he's talking to.
Yeah.
You know, any time, you know, he thinks he's seen her in the corner of his eye, or just truly misses her, or thinks that she would have understood in a moment that they're in, like he says, it's Will that he's talking to. And then the opposite way around, anytime Will's struggling with anything Upside Down related, it's Mike that he's talking to, and neither of them want to talk to the other two about any of it. Maybe because they just try to act as if none of it ever happened. As I said, they're probably just as traumatised, but they just
want people to be normal. Approach it differently, yeah.
Exactly, don't they? That's it. Everyone handles grief differently.
Yeah.
Like Troy says. But yeah. Yeah, that's it. They are literally each other's counsellor this season. They're for each other through the entire thing.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that Will did have Mike. Because this is it. This is why he's number two on my list. Like, he's of being favourites in this season. Because despite those moments that make me incredibly sad for him, he has so many moments this season of maturity and care and understanding to other people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And now we're on to number one.
Number one.
Yeah. And I think we're going to have completely different people.
No, but Mike was my number one.
Oh, yeah, of course. So it's just mine.
It's just you left, yeah.
This is going to... So I thought about the whole season...
God, how bad is it that you're having to explain yourself?
Yeah, I know. No, it's not bad. It's not bad at all. It's not at all. But yeah, I thought about the whole season and I thought about who had maybe surprised me or that I just genuinely really enjoyed. Because I remember my one for season one was Dustin because, you know, he just was so comical in every scene, but he was also so wise and mature. And the one for me for season two was Steve.
Steve, do you know what? He was nearly on mine.
Yeah.
He was nearly on my list, but he just, yeah, everyone else just...
And just because, like, he has so much growth in season two. Because, you know, he's experiencing heartbreak in season two. And he's not a jerk about it. He's trying to better himself. You know, with college and everything. You know, one of the first scenes with him, well, it is the first scene, he's doing his college application because he clearly wants to be a better man for himself, but probably a better man for Nancy as well, let's be honest. And he tells her he loves her a lot in this season as well, which I like that he's not afraid to show his feelings. And what I really respect about him in this season as well is that he's not interested at all in being a sheep, a follower for Billy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Steve is a popular guy in school, and then this new alpha dog comes along, and he has no interest whatsoever in following him. He's not impressed by him whatsoever, and that shows so much growth and maturity in him, and such a likability, because he doesn't want to be like him.
Yeah, and it's amazing, because I feel like season one Steve probably would have tried to follow suit.
Yeah, he would have been Billy. Part of the Billy herd.
He would have been, yeah, and that's it. You could understand it in season one, because that's the kind of character he was to an extent.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he has just... Season one matured him so much.
Yeah.
And then... In season two, he's just a completely different person.
He is. And I think as well, like, the whole scene with Nancy where she's drunk and she says, you know, oh, we're just partying and we're pretending we're in love. She really hurts his feelings. And yes, he storms out. But we do later find out from Jonathan that Steve's basically asked him to take her home.
Yeah.
Because he says, because Jonathan's almost trying to stick up for Steve, and he's like, you know, he was upset and all this stuff. Because clearly, we don't see it, but we know from that Steve was like, has bumped into him and been like, are you sober? And Jonathan's like, yeah. And he's like, can you please take Nancy home?
Yeah.
You know, he clearly cares enough that he's done that, and he's chosen someone that he does deem as trusting. You know, and I feel for him as well because of what does happen between Nancy and Jonathan. Because there is still that question mark in my head as to whether they truly were broken up or not at that point. So I do, you know, I have a sympathy for him for that as well. And I just think he's so funny as well in this season. Like, the advice that he gives Dustin, some of it is so terrible. But some of it is really good. Like, he's right about electricity. And we've said this before, I think those kind of confidence boosts that Steve gives to Dustin does help Dustin to find a girlfriend in season three.
Yeah.
I think he probably does. And I just think he's like, I know, like, people call him the mother of the group, people call him the babysitter.
Mama Steve.
But he's just like a big brother to Dustin.
He is. He is the big brother that Dustin never had.
Yeah, and Dustin's father, we don't know much about him. Well, we don't really know anything about him at the moment, although I know there's the Dustin book. But he is like a good male figure in Dustin's life.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that as well. And I do appreciate his bravery in this season because, yes, he isn't always brave.
No.
There's nothing wrong with that. But... he doesn't back down from a fight. After he's had a talking to from Dustin,
yeah,
he doesn't back down. And he will try and protect people. He, you know, he's like, get behind me. And he's got the bat. Or, you know, he got off that bus knowing what he might be facing. Yeah,
he was the bait.
And yeah, I just thought he has got to have had one of the best growths in season two. And I enjoyed pretty much every single scene he was in this season.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, there's not a bad moment of Steve this season.
No,
like,
no.
Other than the rubbish advice.
Yeah, but that's funny.
It's funny, exactly. It's unforced comedy, season three.
Yeah.
You're spot on with him, because, yeah, he's just such an amazing, lovable character this season.
He is, hey, yeah.
Everything's changed about him from season one.
Like you say, he's like a brand new character.
He's brand new, like, he's completely changed.
Yeah. Can I be cheeky? I do have one more.
You did have an honourable mention, yeah.
I do have an honourable mention.
Is that a character, is it?
It is a character, and it was really hard for me because I really, really wanted this character in my top three.
Yeah.
But I was just like, no, the others won out. Murray. Murray.
Yeah.
Brand new character to season two. And his every single scene of his, I pretty much laughed at.
Yeah.
He's so funny.
He is.
Look at the camera. The camera. Above you. And all his lines are, oh.
Yeah. These are instantly his character.
He's brilliant. Right. He's funny. He's funny as hell.
Yeah, you immediately understand the kind of vibe they're going for with him.
Yeah.
He's brilliant.
Honestly.
If you ever need to contact him again,
don't. He's just great. He's great. He's great. And I just thought, as a character especially, he's just superb. And I was just trying to remember, actually, there was, just before season three came out, there was something that, there was a phone number that you would ring.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember?
I do. One of the promotional things for season three.
Mm.
You could call it, and I'm sure it was Murray on an answering machine.
It was Murray. And it, oh, wait, wasn't it? No. No, was it?
No, yes. Wait, was it season four?
I'm thinking season four. But no, I'm sure there was something about season three with Murray as well. I'm sure there was. We'll have to Google this. But yeah, I just remembered him with promotion. I just remember being with Megan in Atlanta and we listened to the voicemail. But maybe the voicemail came straight after season three.
Yeah, I'm sure they gave out a number.
They did. In the show. Me and Megan rang it.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a number in the show or something like that you could call it and it would be an answering machine. I know it's down now.
Wasn't it found via code or something?
Maybe.
It was something like you had to work it out. There was some sort of code. Okay, I don't know if it was Morse code or something.
We're going to have to pause and look this up.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. Yeah, so it's after season three, before season four. In episode six, when they're talking to, well, when Hopper is trying to get hold of Owens, and then the one that Joyce then calls back and says she's wheelbarrow, blah, blah, blah. When Hopper is talking, he then reads out Murray's phone number, and that number was completely legit. I'm not going to bother mentioning it here because I'm sure they killed it off anyway, and phone numbers can be recycled, so dreading the thought of someone else having that number now.
That would be funny.
But the amount of times films have done that accidentally. It's ridiculous. That's why every American number you hear read in a show starts with 555, because that will never be a real number.
Oh, I see. Didn't know that.
That's why they use it. But yeah, basically, if you called Murray's number that Hopper read off, you would get an answering machine of Murray.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
They haven't put up the exact message here, and I can't be bothered looking for it. But they did note on it that he would mention Joyce. I think I remember it to an extent. I'm sure he'd start off by saying, "Stop calling this, although if you're Joyce..."
Yeah.
"I actually need to speak to you," or something like that. He says that he has some information for her and that he wants to share it in person. And this website, this article was written on literally a day after season three released.
Yeah.
July 5th. saying, could this be a teaser to Hopper being alive, just locked up in a Russian cell? And it's funny reading back these old things, because we know that's dead on true.
Yeah.
But yeah, all these things, like, just thinking it up, dreaming it up.
Yeah, and literally, I remember the day after me and Megan had been, like, on our tours and everything, and I just remember us being in the car. I think we were actually near the police station set.
Oh, yeah.
And we listened to it, yeah, and we were just both laughing. Because, yeah, he'd just call you, like, names under the sun. And then, yeah, and it's like, but if this is Joyce...
yeah, literally. And then he does end the thing with saying that, something like that, and never call here again, you are a parasite.
But yeah, I just think he's such an honourable mention because he's a brilliant character. And I'm so glad that this isn't the last we see of him at all.
Mm-mm. No, I think he's going to be a strong point in season 5.
Yeah.
And that's it. We know, obviously, I see what you mean. Yeah, he's in season 3 and 4, obviously.
Yeah.
But I get you. I'm sure he's going to be a big point in season 5 if he isn't dead.
Yeah. That's it. I'm not sure if he'll survive. If he doesn't survive, I think he'll go down in a very Murray way. He'll probably have like a cigar in his mouth or a vodka in his hand or something.
Yeah, yeah. He needs his thinking support vodka.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll go down without a fight. So, with a fight even.
Dear me.
Well, maybe not a fight. If, you know, holding vodka may or may not be a fight. Unless he's set on fire.
This is the trick. He just offers some vodka to Henry and they bro it out and it's happily ever after.
Yeah. He's like, listen, get over yourself.
Yeah. The world's crap.
Yeah.
I know. We got to deal with it. Stop murdering everyone.
In fact, I'll be like, okay.
Fine.
Fine.
The time has come for me to retire.
And the time has come for us to move on from season 2 and start season 3.
Dear me, dear me, dear me. We're finally here.
We're finally here. 84 years later.
Yeah.
We did it.
We did it. And after 2 whole podcast seasons saying, oh, I dread it, I hate it, it's rubbish, it's the worst, I'm really bloody excited.
I can't wait. I'm genuinely excited. I've been pushing for us to get this this podcast recorded because I want to get started.
Me too. I'm well and truly genuinely excited because I'm trying to remember the good parts. All the excitement.
Oh, God, so much excitement in that build-up to waiting for it. Because like you've said many times before, this was the one that we were waiting for because we were lucky enough to get to watch season 1 and season 2 back-to-back. This is the one that we had to wait for and had all the promotion for. And, yeah, I'm really, really, really excited to start season 3.
Me too.
Can we start tomorrow, please?
I was like, there's still an hour left in the day. Let's go now.
Oh, God. Do I need to say how long I've been up? A long time. Beckner's got nothing on me. He thinks he's got bags and veins under his eyes. Oh, nothing compared to mine. Don't look me directly in the eye. Oh, I think that is it.
I think it is. And God. Just like you said, we easily pushed it over an hour.
Yeah. And all I will say is season 2, thank you for the phenomenal scenes. Thank you for the snowball.
Thank you for all the fanfiction.
Thank you for all the fanfiction.
Thank you for literally giving me the family I have.
Aww. Thank you for my family. Oh, it's so true, though.
It's true.
This set sail our boat, our ship.
Yeah, exactly. This literally gave birth to our ship.
Yeah.
So,
Thank you. Didn't give birth to our children. I had to do that, unfortunately.
But they have these two seasons to thank.
They do indeed. Thank you so much, because, yeah, this is, at this moment, this is where we met.
This, like, is where we were up to. We, yeah, this is, see, all we had.
We wouldn't see any of the scenes without being a couple now. So,
yeah.
Yeah. This is before our stories entwined, and they soon did after this season, so...
Yeah, literally the January.
We became friends very quickly. Yeah, but the January after we became boyfriend and girlfriend, but we became friends.
Yes, exactly.
Very quickly, so... Thank you, Stranger Things Universe. Yeah. Thank you, Duffer Brothers. Thank you for also making us suffer, brothers. You're making us suffer for season two as well. We won't let you forget that either. But yes, an amazing season.
Like I say, I can't really say the best between one and two. They are one.
Yeah.
So, the best seasons.
Yeah. And now we move on to season three. I'm looking forward to laughing. I'm looking forward to cringing.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to berating Hopper. I'm looking forward to giggling and cringing again at some of the 11 moments that are a bit, you know,
yeah, I'm saucy for their age. Yeah, you can never surrender.
Oh, I'm not looking forward to Finn singing. I'm sorry, that's Finn. What I'm talking I know.
It's deliberately rubbish. He's
I've seen him perform in Calpurnia, and he was a good singer. But yeah. Oh gosh. Here we go, people.
But Mike apparently is not.
Let's dive straight in with parachutes.
Let's go.
Bye bye.
Oh, I wasn't going to use a parachute either. I was just going to smash my face on the floor diving into this.
Oh, perfect.
And on that bombshell, it's time to end.
Thank you so much for listening. And please leave us a little review if you'd like to. If you want to leave us any stars, that would be very, very, you know, that'd be fine. That'd be all good.
Do it right now. He says with a smile on his face.
Do what he says. We love you all.
And with that, I'm going to sleep.
Bye bye.
It's fine. They're able to. Hell.
At least we finally got a blooper. Hey.